Hearing, it's 2 o'clock or a little bit after. Commissioner Phillips is in charge of the public hearing.
Okay, at this time, we have a public hearing, and first of all, we speak on those issues before the commission for finalizations, which are velvet antler tagging, wildlife feeding dates, and the rules review process. Following that, we'll have an open forum where you can speak on anything that you want to bring before the commission. At this time, we've had no one sign up for any of the three finalizations. I'm going to give an opportunity, if anybody's here to speak on any of the three things up for finalization, to come forward and sign up and speak to us before we get started on the open forum. Seeing none, we'll go to an open forum. And our first speaker is John Hoppel. Please give us your name and any organizations representing where you're from. We're going to give 3 minutes, and Commissioner Jensen will run the clock. We have 10 people to sign up, to speak, and there might be more, so please pay attention to the clock, and we'll glad to hear what you have to say. Welcome, John.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Secretary Hepler, good to see you again. Talk today about the trap check proposal. The way that page 18 is written currently, department recommendations to current proposal, modify number one above to 72 hours, I believe, statewide, and remove items 2 through 7. The South Dakota Trapper Association would support the department's recommendation 100% on that. And along those lines, I will jump into page 18A, the trapper ID. Department recommendation to current proposal is the department does not support. We support the department's proposal or recommendation on that 100%. As I've stated before, over 99% of the trappers are following the law out there. Why do we want to create new rules and regulations for a .0016 violation rule out there? We just see this as not accurate and reflective on what we should be spending our time doing out there. At this time, I welcome any questions anyone have, but we will support the department's recommendation for a 72-hour statewide. We feel the standardization between Eastern and Risk River is important, and we see zero reason for trap tags at all.
Any questions for Mr. Hoppel? Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Next speaker is George Page, representing the South Dakota Stockbrokers. Okay, Ben.
I'm Ben Page. I just bought in a bunch of sheep this last fall. Came from Wyoming. I have trapped in 4 different states. And the shortening up the trap check is what got me frazzled, so I got in here. But right now I spend a little over an hour every 3 days to run my line to kill predators. And it would put an awful burden if we'd have shortened it up on me. And I have trapped, like I said, multiple states, so most of my traps do have tags on them, but I have never agreed with them. I have traps running around in Nebraska that the fish and game know about with my tags on. So I do support the department's decision not to do the trap tags, and I also like the 72-hour trap check law. I wished it could be longer. I trapped in Wyoming when we had a one-week snare check. That was nice for snares in the wintertime. They're dead anyway, whether you're there 2 hours after they got caught. But, and I support the department's decision in that as well, to at least maintain it at 72 hours. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you. Anybody have any questions? Seeing none, thank you. Tuffy Halls.
I'd like to take and reverse the order of our speaking arrangement, starting with our president, Vince Lowe, vice president, myself, and then our cadre that's with us. If that's acceptable.
Excuse me? You want to reverse the order? Okay. I've got Vince Loeb. We'll put him next.
Yeah, and then Ben Sackerson, and then Mike.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Vince Loeb. I am the president of the Western South Dakota Fur Harvesters Association. I'll keep this fairly short. The fur harvesters support the department recommendation on the proposal regarding the trapping prohibitions, specifically to clarify the difference between 72 hours and prior to midnight on the third calendar day, as it's written here, we support. As far as the, on 18A, the trapping prohibitions regarding the trap tags, the fur harvesters support the department decision not to support this proposal. We would not, will not support trap tags in South Dakota. There's one thing I do want to say. There is no one with more of a vested interest in the health and well-being of our wildlife in the state of South Dakota than the residents, resident trappers, and other resident sportsmen within the state. We are very, for us to enjoy what we do, which we do love doing, we have to have a healthy population of wildlife. That's what we support. And you won't find any other organizations that are better at it. Thank you.
Questions for Vince? Thank you, Vince. Finn Sackerson, Western South Dakota Fur Harvesters.
Hello. I would just like to thank you guys.
Please repeat your name. And
Finn Sackerson, Western South Dakota Fur Harvesters Association.
Thank you.
I would like to thank you guys for coming up with this proposal and getting rid of the other stuff that had been proposed. We work real hard to promote ethical trapping to the youth, and that's what we enjoy, is being out there. And we don't support 24-hour trap check, people being allowed to let stuff out of our traps without our permission or for any reason whatsoever. And we enjoy it, and we want it to go on for generations. I have young kids that enjoy it, and they love going out and hunting and trapping with me. I think that the only way there's a future for trapping is through educating these young people. And your guys' support helping us to do that is the best we can do as a group that is worried about South Dakota's wildlife, stock growers, and just a healthy ecosystem. Thank you. That's all I have.
Any questions for Finn? Thank you. Which brings us to Tuffy Halls.
Good afternoon, and Secretary Hepler, Chairman Mr. Phillips, and the gentleman working Mr. Phillips right now. My name is Tuffy Halls, Secretary Treasurer of the Western South Dakota Fur Harvesters. And this check law issue has been pretty hot and heavy in all the organizations within the trapping community now for a few months now. But listening here today, I am really impressed with the positive attitude and the atmosphere has been generated by the commission and by Game and Fish overall. This R3 amendment, or R3 initiative, was a surprise to myself, and what a refreshing outlook for Game, Fish, and Parks. When you think of trapping, you think of the old version of the big old trap with the teeth on it, you know, that bite and they grab. Whoa, wait a minute here. And after the Federal Fish and Wildlife Service several years ago started the study on best management practices, the traps have evolved considerably. And the comfort of the animal was taken into primary consideration when these here studies were done. The studies proved to be successful, and the Federal Fish and Wildlife Service adopted most of the recommendations from the BM&P process. We have to realize that we're not dealing with pets when we're out there trapping or fur harvesting. We are dealing with a predator. And those predators are devastating to our farmers, ranchers, sportsmen, and other people in the community as well. The impact on our state's economics is very extensive, and that's kind of proven by Governor Noem's initiative on the nesting protection program that she had. And the passing of this regulation to go to 72 hours will go a long ways in helping Governor Noem satisfy her program, excuse me, getting dry, to protect nesting animals. Also, I want to thank you for the Game, Fish, and Parks involvement in our youth education program. I think that we have gathered into a good united front when we go out and teach our youth education, education programs in the state, and not only do we find that the youth are interested, but also the parents are also. So I thank you for everything. If you have any questions for me, I'll be glad to answer them.
Any questions for Mr. Halls? Seeing none, thank you.
Adios.
Next speaker is Joe Logue.
Thank you. Yeah, good afternoon. I'm Joe Loeb from Fall River County, and I am a trapper. I have been a trapper and bought trapping licenses for over 65 years. Many years ago, in the 50s, we were down to a 24-hour trap check that simply did not last because it just wasn't worthwhile. So I absolutely support keeping our regulations the way they are, and absolutely against any trap marking or trap tag things. I believe this 24-hour thing came about because of the what I call the tail bounty, if you want to consider that. But I have to ask, how many people are like me and kind of cringe whenever I think about all of those little babies? I don't care if they are predators or whatever, but all those little babies out there that no longer have a mother to raise them up to adulthood so I can catch them in my traps and sell the fur, I think it's a horrible program to start with. Thank you.
Any questions for Joe? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker is Ray Mays.
I'm going to yield my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ben Page.
I've already spoken.
Okay. Thank you. Justin Krajewski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. I'm Justin Krajewski, Spearfish, South Dakota, and I'm a trapper and a licensed one also, along with another number of other licenses. The first thing I'd like to do is just commend you and Governor Noem on the Nest Bounty Program. I was certainly skeptical about it, but it was certainly more successful than what I had assumed it would be. And certainly from the standpoint of getting kids out to trap as part of the R3 initiative, it was very successful from my sphere or circle here in western South Dakota. On the trap petition or the trap regulation or 24-hour trap petition. Certainly against most of those items that were petitioned, but certainly commend the department and would support the department recommendation for what they have proposed on that rule change. And with that, I'll stand for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Questions for Justin? Thank you. Next speaker is Jamie Al-Hajj.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. I'm the odd one out here. I am here today to speak in support of the petition for the 24-hour trapping. There is 36 states that do require a 24-hour check. Unfortunately, South Dakota seems to be lagging behind, as we often do, and I am against extending the trapping check time to 72 hours across the state. I believe it's the Games, Fish, and Parks Commission's responsibility to establish ethical and consistent standards and regulations that will serve for the greatest good of the wildlife, the environment, and the people of the state of South Dakota. It is, I've read the comments that were submitted, and I respect those that are in favor of extending times, but it's inconceivable to me to think that we would allow any animal to suffer for up to 3 days in the name of convenience. And that's basically why the extension would be implemented straight across the state, as being proposed to the 72 hours. You've talked about the educational aspect of wanting to bring more people in, wanting to more people to understand the conservation of our state, and wanting more people to support what Games, Fish, and Parks does. You have the opportunity now to show to our general population that you are aware of their ideals and their concerns. This gives the opportunity to have both the trapping supported and also people that are questioning why we would extend this regulation because it can damage both and is inhumane to both intended trappings and unintended trappings. I'm also speaking in support of the trapper ID. I propose these questions to you. How can there be any oversight of any trapping activity when the individual that set the trap does not have to identify themselves? And is it at all possible for any Games, Fish, and Parks official to enforce any regulations without knowing who is responsible? All businesses and industries have regulations and standards that we are required to follow and be accountable for. Why should the trapping industry be any different? I'm asking you to consider this. I respect those people trapping, and I do believe that they their intentions are good, and the gentlemen that spoke today are passionate about what they do. But I also think there's many other things that need to be considered, and we are not asking anything that is not doable. That 36 other states have recognized this. I believe that South Dakota should also consider that too. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions, any follow-ups? Thank you, Mrs. Elhodge.
Thank you.
Next speaker is Nancy Hilding. Nancy is not here. Oh, here she is.
There's nine for sure. Whether there's more than that, I can't remember. Okay, so I've got 3 minutes, right? Can someone count off a minute each time? I have a lot to talk about very quickly.
We have a clock right here. You want?
What?
3 minutes here.
Oh, so what is that? Does it link?
It will show yellow, and then it will show
okay.
red.
Okay, all right, so... mountain lions, trap check time, and nest predator bounty. I'll try to do a minute on each. And then later I'm on the agenda to talk about the trapper ID. For mountain lions, the thing that we have always worried about is substantially is the per unit, 365-day unlimited harvest with hounds on private land, moving on to some public land. We have been saying for years that there is suitable habitat out in the prairie, which Game, Fish, and Parks has been denying, but they finally admit in this new plan that there have been four females who have lactated Bennett, Oglala, Lakota, and Millette County. And I did send, and I will resend, a link that a Mountain Lion Foundation made with a map of all these layers where you can look at all the mountain lion mortalities over time. There are four dead kittens that Game, Fish, and Parks found. They're in the streams coming out of the Black Hills, like Bear Butte Creek. Am I 1 minute already? Okay, so we think that there is suitable habitat. We think there's proven ongoing breeding. And we think that the Mountain Lion Management Plan did two pages on the per unit, that this is completely and utterly inadequate, and I know they're holding it back for another month, thank God, but I think you need to extensively extend the section on the per unit. And we and we think you're still over-harvesting in the Black Hills. But I have to move on to the next topic. Okay, we want to talk about the Nest Predator Bounty Program very briefly. We completely object to it. We still do. We hope that it will not happen again. However, if against all of our wishes you choose to do it again, I hope you will do it transparently through rulemaking, not through the backdoor loophole where the staff decides how it's going to be. And unfortunately, I think if you didn't have a proposal right now, you're going to run up against the clock again because the Interim Rules Review Committee won't meet until April. And so you need 20 days after the Interim Rule Review Committee. And so, you know, if you're going to do it in a transparent rulemaking way, at this point you're looking at May 1st, not April 1st. But I don't want you to do it. I'm just saying look at the time flow charts here. All right, so that's that one. Okay, so we only now can talk very briefly about trap check time. We proposed the rule. I have sent you all a sheet out there. I found a law that says about trap robbing that says you people can't rob traps. I sent it, I think, to John, the attorney. You need to look at that one as whether it conflicts with our request that Game, Fish, and Parks be able be able to intervene in a legally set trap to set the animals free or euthanize them or let somebody else do it. Have John look at that statute and see how that affects, you know, whether what we suggested is currently legal or not, legal or illegal. But we stand by our 72, we stand by the 24-hour trap check time. We sent you an email with your class, the class outline for the what you're teaching people about trapping, and you're telling them to check the traps every day, regardless of what the rule says. Checking them.
3 minutes goes by really quickly, but.
All right. Okay. So.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm going to talk to you later on Trapper ID. So, thank you very much for all that you do.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
We're going to talk about optic muzzleloaders, and the speaker is Roger Twomley.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Roger Twomley, out of Chamberlain, South Dakota, and I'm here to discuss the changing of the rule of the optics for muzzleloader. And I strongly recommend it, as I stated in the peer meeting, that you can't buy a muzzleloader with zero power anymore. All you can do is buy a 1x4 or a 1x6 variable. So I won't take the full 3 minutes, but I just wanted to come all the way out here and to mention it again that how much I love this sport, and I've talked to a lot of people, and hopefully they've notified you guys and talked to you about this issue too, because we all want to go forward with this. We all want to be able to harvest an animal ethically and to do it humanely. And that is all I want to. At my age, I don't see as good anymore. And I think a scope and a smaller scope would be to my benefit to harvest an animal humanely. So that's all I've got.
Any questions for Mr. Twomley? Thank you, sir. Now we have one new individual signed up to talk about Trapper ID, Max Matthews.
Mr. Zachary, Secretary Hepler, board members. I apologize being I got here a little late and I didn't get my sign-in sheet put in. Appreciate you giving me the time to visit with you. My name is Max Matthews. I'm a rancher from Perkins County, South Dakota, and I'm also the president of the Perkins County Predator Board up there. I guess I'm kind of here to represent the livestock. You've heard a lot of trappers speak today. I have never set a trap or don't really have any plans on setting a trap. I would like to leave that up to the professionals and those people that spoke, and especially for us, the state trappers that the GF&P hire are very important and also very professional. They know what they're doing. Perkins County is a large county. And if this proposal was to go through, I'm afraid we, the livestock producers, will lose an important tool in managing predators. For the state trapper to be efficient in managing the predation in our livestock, one of his best tools is to trap the predator that is usually preying on sheep or young calves. Some of these traps have been set in remote locations. My fear is that the trapper would not be able to be successful in his job because of the time it would take for him to have to check traps every 24 hours. That is all he would get done every day. He would have no time for other important aspects of his job. I'm also here to represent the livestock that are harmed by predators. Sheep in particular have no defense against the coyote. Many times I've witnessed the slaughter of 8 or more head. Many times they are not ate, but just killed for fun. I've also had lambs that have been bit in the neck, but have not been killed. The bite is very infectious, and the lamb gets very sick. Left untreated, it usually takes 3 to 4 days for this lamb to slowly and painfully die. I've treated many with antibiotics with a very poor successful rate. This, of course, adds to their length of dying because I've helped them out some. Sometimes that takes 5 to 7 days before they finally die. I have also found sheep walking with their insides trailing 5 foot behind them. I don't know how long it would take them to die, but because usually I shoot them before they have that opportunity. In closing, I would like you to consider these points, and our livelihood depends on the state trapper being able to do his job in a reasonable fashion. The livestock industry depends on the trappers for managing the coyote. If he has to worry about the replications of rules that make his job impossible to do, then I'm afraid the livestock industry and our livelihood will suffer. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. I'm going to switch to talking about the CWD issue, and the speaker is Eric Locken.
Eric Loken from Camp Crook, South Dakota, with Sheep Mountain Taxidermy. And I've read your 3 proposals. The first 2 I don't agree with, not letting, you know, bringing in any of the carcass or game heads from out of state. I only live about 3 miles from the Montana border up in Harding County, and 70% of my business comes from North Dakota, Montana, and Wyoming. And if they didn't allow any of these game heads to come across the border, it would put me out of business. And I don't also understand the butchers. I don't know why none of them are here from Belfouche and Spearfish, because I know a large portion of their game comes out of Wyoming and Montana. And the outfitters that are along the border, I mean, we have an outfitter up there that 90% of his stuff comes out of Montana back to his ranch in South Dakota. And not allowing him to bring any of his stuff back is, I just don't know why they've not looked at any of these areas. They're all gray areas to me. And how do we do a European mount, you know, to boil the skull out? That's the brain matter. Where does that go? I just don't understand what they're really proposing here, because it would put me out of business. So I'm just here to put my two cents in. So thank you very much.
Any questions? Thank you. Charles Blakely would like to speak on CWD and also trapping.
It's Clark Blake, but my penmanship isn't very good.
I took a wag at it.
Thank you, Commissioner or Secretary Hepler and the commissioners for letting us speak. But I'm also from Camp Crook, where Eric's from, and this CWD deal has a potential to have a bad impact on him and some of our outfitters. And I also have a bar and restaurant in Camp Crook that, as well as a ranching operation south of there, that we get a lot of people in and out of Camp Crook from Montana and North Dakota that are hunters that come in there with their wildlife or with their game that they've harvested. So I don't know. I hate to see that stop. It's tough enough in these small towns anyway. The other thing, I support the commission's 72-hour proposal on this trap check, and I'm opposed to trap tags because I do a little bit of trapping and that, and our state trappers are very necessary up there where I'm from. So I guess the other thing I heard today was the prairie mountain lion season. Let's just leave it the way it is. We've got them up there, and we got to have some way to manage them. But I guess that was about it. Thank you for your time. If you have any questions, I'll try to answer them.
Any questions for Clark? Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike Watkins.
Okay, thank you, commissioners, for at least giving me a few minutes of your time. I'm an outfitter in Montana and Wyoming. I work northeast Wyoming, southeast Montana. Your CWD proposal is really would be, I don't know what I'd do. I take all my animals to a licensed processor. He disposes of them in a correct manner, and yet under your new proposal, that wouldn't happen. And it'd be pretty tough on me, pretty tough on him. So I would ask you to look at that part of your proposal. There's a number of things in there that I agree with, that we have to have some kind of control over where some of this stuff's going, but it doesn't really address or provide an enforcement method for all your residents that come over to Wyoming and hunt, because they can easily do that. I just don't see how you can keep track of it. And I don't know that we need to make laws, just have laws on the books. But I would appreciate if you would consider that. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have. It's my best interest to comply with the law. We strive to do that. We don't want to bypass it, so that's why I'm here, to see if we can get some consideration to changing this just a little bit. Thank you.
Any questions from Mr. Watkins? Thank you, sir.
Could I say one more thing?
Certainly.
This is the first time I've come to address a commission like this, and it's a little bit intimidating. But I do appreciate you giving people the opportunity.
We appreciate that.
Thank you.
Gary.
We have questions.
Commissioner Locken here. Just one quick question. When most of your clients leave, how do they take their meat and their carcass? What kind of?
Well, like I say, I transport most of them to a processor. And those that take the meat home, they pick up the processed meat and take it home. A great amount of it is donated. And the processor donates it to the food bank there in the Belfouche, Nisland area. And it's parceled out through there.
Anything more? Thank you.
All right.
I believe the last one is on elk depredation, and it's Don Heisley.
I'd like to thank the commission for the opportunity to speak to you. Some of you have heard me before, some haven't. My family has a ranch south of Deadwood, about 13 miles. We've got lots of elk. I've talked about this issue for the past 4 to 5 years at least. The last good hay crop we had was in 2015. We had 59 round bales at 1,400 pounds. When you translate all that out, it's about 41 ton. And if you've got to buy that hay, if you can get it for that, depending on the year, that's worth $4,920. Last year, we did not get a hay crop due to the elk. My neighbors who put it up said it wasn't worth putting up. Last year was a wet year. This year is even wetter. Our upper end has been decimated by the elk. Our lower end may have some hay if they can get to it, but the elk are in there hitting that pretty hard too. So it's a real problem and a big economic hardship. The season would help more if these units were smaller and you could target some of these heavy numbers of elk. In our area, that herd moves, I know, across 385, but they're in our area a lot of the time. $700 to $800 on your replacement program is a fraction of what this forage is worth. So it's not good enough. I think there should be more tags issued. And I do let people hunt. I've got an archery hunter in there right now and another one that also has permission. And there'll be some rifle hunters also. I'm going to send a letter because you can't cover this in 3 minutes. I went through that last year. So I'm going to send a letter within 60 days. I will cite court cases. And I'll talk about alternatives, such as transferring tags so I can recover the loss of my forage, or cash payments, or hay replacement. So you'll see more, but I've about had it with this depredation problem, and there needs to be some resolution. Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak on an open forum today? Seeing, we have one more. Go ahead.
All right.
Tell us your name and where you're from, please.
I'm Wes Reinford from Nisland. We have the meat shop. I don't know if I'm the only butcher here today or not, but that's why I'm not sure why I raised my hand to come up here and talk. But Mike Watkins and I, he brings most all of their game to us. And, the CWD, I understand it's not just South Dakota. It's all over. I understand the impact, but you were asking him, like, all the animals that come, most everything everything is properly butchered. With all of our waste, we have a crematory, so nothing leaves the property. I mean, everything gets, it's a crematory. It burns everything up. So, I'm just trying to, I'm glad for this opportunity to share. And then I had somebody from Sportsmen's Against Hunger yesterday was saying, and I hadn't heard this, but possibly till next year that Butte County now has no CWD, at least on record. So till next year, they couldn't even bring things from other counties to Butte County. Is that correct?
Those endemic areas, which is the Southwest, so like, and other states.
So even other counties that are bordering Butte County couldn't bring things?
I believe that's incorrect. Help me if I'm incorrect here, but is Chad around? Kevin, can you?
Maybe while he's getting the mic to Chad, I could ask him a question.
Yes.
That's the first I've heard of a crematory on site for a meat locker, but you're, is that like your own? I mean, not, there, obviously nobody requires that, but do you know of other processing centers that utilize that? Because I think that's pretty unique.
Well, it's very unique. What I ran into is we do a lot of beef and hogs, and this past year, the hide market went to zero. We can't get anything for deer hides or beef hides anymore. And so I talked to the fellow that designs these, and he said across the nation, I think he was just had an order for 50 different crematories from East Coast to West Coast for this very reason. So it's, yeah, you talk about the end of the disease, I think it's 2,000 degrees.
Can you answer the question about what can and cannot go in and out of the other counties, or should we get Chad up here?
Commissioner Phillips, Chad can answer that question, but yes, we can get that for you.
Okay, the question is, which county did you say?
Well, he was mentioning to me yesterday, like any county, I mean, even the counties bordering us, like Harding County, or not Harding County, what's Meade County, different ones, any ones that had CWD and couldn't even bring them to the next county, even in South Dakota.
Okay. Chad.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator. So if I understand the question correctly, is it if you in Butte County could accept carcasses outside of Butte County or from our known endemic areas based on the Commission's current proposal? Is that correct?
From the counties that border it. And it's my understanding that there are no endemic areas bordering Butte County. Isn't that correct?
He was saying yesterday that, I mean, any elk or deer from any CWD areas couldn't come into Butte County to be processed.
That's true. From the endemic area. But the other counties that border it, they can come in with no problem. Only from the endemic areas. Is that correct, Chad?
Correct. Based on the Commission's current proposal, the only thing that hunter could take out of, say, Custer County to your processing facility, which I believe is in Butte County, mm-hmm. correct, would be deboned meat, based on the current proposal. A whole carcass could not come out as currently proposed.
But any county that's not an endemic area, like Perkins or something, can certainly come in.
Correct.
So who enforces that? So, I mean, someone drives in, they're not going to, I don't know where, I mean, as a processor, I'm supposed to enforce that, or how's this work? Because people aren't going to tell me where they came from.
Well, the department will enforce it, certainly, right? I mean, help me out here, Chad, but.
I mean, it puts us in a predicament.
Yep. No, it's a great question, and it's one that we have talked about. In fact, I was just talking with that taxidermist out in the hallway about that similar type of question. So I don't think the onus would be on the processor or the taxidermist. That regulation or rule would apply to the hunter, and that's going to be up to our law enforcement staff to help monitor and regulate. And you know, we know with everything, there's never 100% compliance, but we do the best we can. And most of our hunters are great hunters. They're going to follow our regulations and do what is best from the wildlife management perspective. I mean, these are rules we're putting in place, not just to have rules on the book, but try to reduce that spread of CWD.
And this meat can come to your plant from any place as long as just the quarters come. It can come right out of the endemic area as long as it's quartered and come to your property.
As a meat processor, that's when I want to quit the business.
That's,
you know, what I'm saying is that, yeah, the dirt and the hair, when people debone stuff in the field, most times they should leave it all there.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure. Thank you.
Anybody else want to
farm.
Thank you.